Arise out of Zion. Amen. Arise out of Zion.
Bye.
going to Him, raise our hands and just worship Him. For indeed, it is the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I feel like jumping.
Amen.
And tell your neighbor, jump. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. We thank God. We thank God for much help. You know, God has granted us. We can sit down. I don't need to. Hallelujah. Anyway. We thank God for much help. God has granted us great help over the days from Friday, Saturday, and then now. And to be honest, everything has been said. You know, and there's really nothing to say again, you know. But we just trust God to just strengthen some things. But God indeed has granted us much help. And we can be very expectant at this time. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 31. And I know people there cannot see the board, so we'll just try to touch scriptures. But just the word received. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 11. It says, "For the Lord had redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he." For the Lord had redeemed Jacob and had ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. For this cause, verse 12, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. For the abundance of wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Because of the redemption of the Lord, all shall return unto Zion. There is a mass returning of the redeemed people unto Zion.
Amen.
Every man shall return to his possession.
Amen.
Because this is the year of Jubilee, and oppression and bondage, imprisonment is not permitted.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He said, therefore, they shall come with singing. Amen. To the height of Zion, and they shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. God is working with a body in this time. They will not flow individually. They will flow collectively.
Hallelujah.
He's preparing his church. Different expressions of it. Different candlesticks around the world. He said they shall flow together to the goodness of God. Verse 13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
May the Lord bring dancing unto us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For all who have known mourning and sighing shall return to Zion with singing and dancing.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The virgin shall rejoice in the dance.
Amen.
Both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy.
Amen.
And will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow.
Amen.
And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness.
Amen.
And my people shall be satisfied with the goodness. Say it who? No, say it me.
No,
no, no, no, no. Say it, Tokwe. Glory. Say it who?
Lord.
He says, my people shall be satiated with goodness. Thus said the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her because they were not. Who has been weeping because of this light, this divine seed that they have received? Ever since, you know, we receive the new birth, there is war. There is an aggression over the enemy. You see, what happened here was revealed to the prophet Jeremy beforehand, speaking of what shall happen in Israel when our Lord Jesus was born. And of course, it is Matthew. I don't have the exact verse, refers when Herod began to kill all the children in Israel. You know, because he was looking for Jesus. He wanted to kill because they said, this is the king that is coming to take over. And then Herod was bent on killing all the children. There are those who have been weeping. A voice has been heard in Ramah, weeping because of this seed. All manner of aggressions, spiritually, physically, all manner of bombardments. And sometimes people say, I want to turn back. I want to go back. This thing is not possible. I've been going around in circles. I'm trying to move forward, and Mansiya just stands in my way and begins to send me in circles. All manner of bombardments because of this. It is the voice heard in Ramah. Lamentation, bitter weeping. Weeping because of our children. Where is the seed that I should be producing? It is not. He says, for they were not. Thus said the Lord, verse 16. Hallelujah. Refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded. Saith who?
The Lord.
And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Hey, by the word of the Lord, let there be a mass exodus of the people, of everyone here, from the land of any enemy.
Amen.
Let there be a mass exodus.
Amen.
The Lord has said that his people will return from the land of the enemy.
Amen.
From the land of every captivity and every hold, there shall be a returning.
Amen.
Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing songs of joy and thanksgiving.
Amen.
Unto the God of Israel.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord. And thy people shall come again to their own border. Hallelujah. Psalm 8. I'm just reading witnesses of the Spirit received while praying towards the meeting. And Psalm 8 verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. I heard this clearly while praying towards the meeting, not yesterday, but from we were having a prayer during the week, for Monday. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength for the purpose of thine enemies, that thou mightest shut them up. Thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. So who is saying that I'm a babe? I was just born again, you know, just 2 months ago. In fact, I was actually in the faith, but I went back into the ways of the world and I'm coming back. Maybe these things that I've spoken are for people who, you know, have been exercised more and more. The Lord is saying, nobody is too small.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, Jehovah has done what? Established strength. Everything that is needed for you to totally bring to vanquish all the works of the enemy has been put within you. Ordained is established. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, Jehovah has ordained strength that thou mayest put to silence the enemy and the avenger. It was rough. After great salvation, he was wrought. He says he swore to make war with the seed. He's the avenger. But the avenger shall be totally dealt with.
Amen.
By your hand.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Say, my hand will hold the necks of my enemies.
I will squeeze them.
I will thrust them out.
By the power of Jehovah.
Of by whom I am. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 110. Now I join the queue of everything that's been happening from Friday. And you can just give this a little title to say conquest in the build up us through abundant provision from star to star. Or from day to day, or from dispensation to dispensation. Anyone, you can put it there. Conquest in the build-up hours. In the build-up hours, through ours. Is it our or our? Conquers the build of ours through abundant provision from star to star, from dawn to dawn, from day to day, from dispensation to no, I'm just, you can represent it in the star. The star, in this case, we can say from the full day, the fullness of the day, the sun at 12 noon, the fullness of the day. So from one to another, or dispensation to dispensation, age to age, whatever. But okay, so conquest in the build up us through abundant provision from star to star. Amen. Conquest in the build up ours. Conquest in the build up ours. I can call it H. Yeah, yeah. The title is not too important. It's because the content, but let's try. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I'm talking like my brother Abraham. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. The Lord has made abundant provision. And through the abundant provision, we shall submit ourselves willing vessels and do great things. No more shall there be defeat. And no more shall there be despondency and cry in the house of the Lord's people. Psalm 110, verse 10, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. As you said, Jehovah said unto Adon, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The word until is not without a background. It's not a standalone word. Until can denote both a set time for a thing to occur, also a build up, you know, to a fullness or the finalization of a matter. The build up to the fullness or the finalization of a matter. So, if I say, fill this bottle with water, or put water in this bottle, let me phrase it that way. Put water in this bottle until it is filled up. So that means that as the water goes from here, it's building up until it is filled up, right? I don't know if that is clear. Yeah. So put it until it is filled up. So there is the until moment, the time of the building up. For before you would have the head of Goliath in your hand, you must needs slay your bears and your lions. That's the until moment. There must be true vital relationship with the Lord. There must be conquest in the until moment. So it's not just to wait and say, in the day, I'm waiting for the day of the power, and I'm doing whatever, I'm waiting for the day to just hit me and move. There is the time of the build up until I make your enemies thy footstool. And the time of the build-up or a countdown is a prerequisite to the fullness. That means that partaking diligently in the time of the build-up is needed, or rather, face this another way, you must have partaken diligently in the time of the build up, you know, to be a partaker of the fullness. Is that clear? You must have partaken diligently in the time of the build up to be a partaker of the fullness. So the question here is, what are we doing in this time of the build up? What are we doing in this time of build up? What are a people doing? As for Jehovah, as for our Lord, he's seated down at the right hand. with great expectation for his enemies to be brought completely under his footstool through the church, through you and I, through the individual saints. As for the work, it has been done. On account of the atonement, that is to say, on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, bringing his own blood and atoning for our sins. After he did that and won all victory, he sat down on the right hand of God in with great expectation. Hebrews chapter 10. Don't know if okay. Hebrews chapter 10, we can start from verse 12. It says, but this man, after he had offered once sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. After he had atoned for sins by his own blood, sat down on the right hand of God in expectation. Can you expect? Okay, let me put this way. God can just load me with some cash. And I just dispense 6,000. No, I shouldn't be doing 6,000. I dispense 20,000 to Cheesy. Cheesy, you feeling me? I said, take 20,000 to do some things. Amen. Now, and I sit down in expectation for how to do it. What does that mean? If the Lord is expecting, that must mean that there has been abundant supply given. There is abundant supply, brethren. The Lord, for the Lord to be expecting that through the hands of Philip, his enemies be made his footstool. In great expectation. Hey, what say the scriptures? He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Oh, yes. Even his horn shall be exalted with honor. Can you locate that scripture? He has dispersed. Great abundance has come from the throne of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has dispersed. Okay, you couldn't find it. It's not Psalm 89. Yeah. He had dispersed. He had given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And his horn shall be exalted with honor. Brethren, there has been great provision for everyone. Abundance has been given on account of the manifestation of Jesus Christ. His passion, his death, his resurrection, his atonement has made you discharged and acquitted. Not only that, but giving you abundant provision for all that pertains to life and godliness. Amen. His divine power has given it to you. Amen. His divine power has given it to you. Amen. Oh, yes. Receive the revelation of his power. Amen. The working of his mighty power within you. Amen. Jehovah, the Lord, our God, is in expectation, hey, for his people, for his church to arise.
Hallelujah.
In daily conquest. Amen. Victory unto victory.
Amen.
From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead until every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Hallelujah!
Amen.
May the Lord Jesus Christ be Lord indeed. Of power.
Amen.
To know him as Lord indeed.
Amen.
Not just in word.
Yes.
Indeed.
Amen.
To everything, every foe is vanquished. Hey, he has sat down on the right hand of power.
Amen.
Now listen. Christ Jesus is seated. He is in control.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is in control.
Yes.
Sometimes the enemy shakes you and makes it seem as if, oh, I'm overwhelmed. I've lost. There's nothing. This one, that one, no control. Jesus Christ is in control. He's seated down on the right hand of God. He's sitting in rulership. He's going nowhere. So know that he is a present help. Present. The devil cannot do you anything. Satan cannot do you anything. Jesus is in control. He's seated on the right hand of power. With full expectation. Hey! With full expectation.
Glory.
That by the abundant provision given unto her king, he shall overcome. It is a given. He has ordained that strength. That is an ordination established in you. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
He says from this time, before that, before the atonement, he couldn't expect anything. He couldn't expect anything. There was no expectation. But after that atonement, he sat down on the right hand. So what do you see? Are you seeing the enemies? Or are you seeing the one who is seated at the right hand? Because there are two sides. And the two sides are valid. But which do you see? Hebrews. Is it Hebrews? By Hebrews 10. Hebrews 2 should capture that. Hebrews 2. What sides do you see? Because the two sides are valid, but which do you choose to see? Okay. Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm reading from verse... glory to God. From verse 6, I can say. It says, but one. First of all, he said that subjection of the words has not been given to space angels. Verse 5. For unto the angels had he not put in subjection the word to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place. Job in the midst of trials. Tapped into the a realm of the spirit. And like David, is dropped and picked prophetic vibrations. Job 7 refers. Yeah, he says, what is man that you magnify him? Let's look at it very briefly. Sorry. Just to establish certain things. Job 7. For people who can't see the board, you can try to open it. Job 7. Verse 17. He says, what is this man? Who is Philip? I'm sorry for using names today, but I'm trying to get the point. Who is Philip that you should magnify him? And that you should set your heart upon him? These were made by sons of God. I'm not talking about on earth. You see, they are prophetic. With utterances that have been made in the spirit, and most of the things that the prophets speak do not just come from like inspiration. What I mean is inspiration, just saying a new thing, but they pick the head things in the realm of the spirit. Who knows what the morning stars sang? He says, when he laid the foundations, the morning stars sang for joy. Those words are not, they are not lost, they are there in the spirit. Hey, may God give us entrance into the prophetic realm. Amen. Into this, to pick things and utter them to our salvation.
Amen.
Job picked and said, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him? And that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him. God Almighty sets his heart upon you. Zechariah says that he has set you as the apple of his eyes. Therefore, anyone who fights against you, he will come after him.
Amen.
Verse 18. And that thou shouldest visit him every morning. Or every star. That's where it comes. Every morning. And that thou shouldest try him.
Hallelujah.
No wonder it says, rejoice for when you are tried of God. It's a privilege. It means he is making a son. He's making a man, a woman of glory. Go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter, is it 2? Yeah. Verse 7. Now. Okay, verse 6. Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor, and this set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Truth, right?
Yes.
All things have been put. So when he says, sit down at thy right hand until I make your enemies, don't think Jesus is waiting until enemies are made. No. Christ the head has finished his work. Amen. The greater David has finished it. It's left for David, the posterity, to finish it up. To execute the judgment that has been done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thou hast put what? All things in subjection under his feet. Whatever enemies that you are seeing, I'm talking enemies, we just group all of them, spiritual, physical, whatever, has been put of a truth in subjection under the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
It's been put in subjection. Now, for in that he put all things under him, he left nothing. There is nothing that is not put under him. Brethren, say
there is nothing
that is not put under the feet of the seated of my seated Lord. But now we see not yet all things put under him. That is a sight which is valid. You see not yet all things. But all things has been put under him. But sickness is eating my body. And I'm giving up to all manner of things. I'm struggling here and there. I don't see. That is a sight that is valid. All things put. Verse 9. But we see Jesus. That is another sight that is equally valid. Choose the one you want to see. So, in this process, in this until moment, our sight should be on the seated Lord. The one with power. Forget about the enemies. See Jesus. For he who called you is faithful to bring you to the completion of all things.
Amen.
He said, but we see Jesus. Forget the snakes that are biting you. Look unto him.
In the name of Jesus.
Look unto him and forge ahead. Amen. But we see Jesus. The former statement is valid.
Mm-hmm.
But there is another statement here saying, but we see Jesus. That is the mystery of the church. That though Christ the head and Christ the body be two distinct beings, they shall become one. Psalm 8 insinuates it. Sorry, Psalm 80 insinuates it. Where he says, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. So who is the vine? Because in different places, it has Jesus can be referred to as the vine. We can be referred to as the vine brought out of Egypt. Because in the New Testament, he quoted and said, this was a fulfillment of scripture that said, I've called my son out of Egypt. Talking about Jesus Christ, when Herod was pursuing him, he went to Egypt for asylum. His parents took him there. And when he returned, or when the parents took him there, he fulfilled his scripture that said, I've called my son out of Egypt. But didn't he also call us out of Egypt? He did. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What is said of Christ the head refers is also said of Christ the body.
Yes.
Praise the name of the Lord. Just hold that as a principle. But we see Jesus. Brethren, let our sight. I counsel to rather take this sight. I may be experiencing difficulties. When you see Jesus, I rather die seeing Jesus. I'd rather die like Stephen. I'd rather see Jesus and die than to die like an utter coward and a fool. I'd rather die like Stephen. Stephen's own, Jesus was not sitting. He stood up to receive him. I'd rather die like that than to die not seeing Jesus. Who do you see? When you see Jesus, you cannot talk about tiredness. No matter how much you appear, you would see Jesus. I did not call myself. I did not ordain myself. Am I the one that... I didn't call myself. I didn't love myself when I was in the deadness of sin. He opened my eyes. He called me. He who has called you is able to sustain you. He says, I have made and I will bear. He will bring you into his day. Continue to see Jesus. Continue to walk. continue to walk in his sight.
Hallelujah.
We are not of them that draw back unto hopelessness. We are not of them. Hopelessness is a disease. It's a serious attack of the enemy. You know, in the most simple word. But we are of them that press on to the saving of the soul. Ah, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied by thy countenance. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a goodly heritage. I think the verse before that, he starts. Okay, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places is Psalm 16. Behold, I have a goodly heritage. The next verse is the Lord, right? Yeah, the Lord is, I think verse 7. Yeah, the Lord is the portion. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Remember in the first, on Friday, it says the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. It cannot. When you see Jesus, you know this, that the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. He is the maintainer of my lot. He maintains my lot. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins will instruct me in the night season. Yes, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I cannot be moved. Therefore, my glory rejoices. And my therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For you, O God, look, this is a statement born out of understanding the love of the Father. You, O God, will not leave my soul in hell. You will not suffer me to see corruption. Instead, you will show me the way of life. So he will not know it. God cannot leave your soul in hell. What do you think of him? What do you imagine against the Lord? You feel so hot if someone that you love, you know, your beautiful wife or beautiful husband, you know, says something and you say, how can you think that of me? You are so hot. How can you think that is issue? How do you think that of me? How is God feeling? When you were wallowing in sin, what did you know? He came, he saw you as a harlot and loved you. And you are still thinking evil. God does not care about me. I'm not significant. When we understand his love, he said, thou will not leave my soul in hell. The Lord will not leave our soul in hell.
Amen.
Everything, our mind, will, emotion, will not be given up to death. Our desire, there will shall be. Hey, receive a realignment of desires in the name of Jesus. Let your will be strengthened to follow him.
Amen.
Yeah, let there be a renewing of the mind. Every mind given to wickedness, may it be turned by the power of God.
Amen.
We declare singleness of eyes, of both the physical and in the spirit. He cannot leave my soul in hell. This my body. As for this physical body, no, it cannot see corruption. It cannot see decay. It cannot be sought out to do wickedness. For in this day of his power, there is great provision that is given that causes willingness. Rather, he will show me the way of life. If you think you are locked up, the way to life will be shown. What difficulty is it? Of the soul? Of physical things? Hey, an entrance to the way of life will be shown unto me. It is a truth. In his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So what are we doing in this time of the build up? What are we doing? There is the time of the preparing. And there is the time of the showing. Before David came and yanked the head of Goliath, coming by the power of the Lord, he was experiencing victory upon victory. Maybe they recorded only the lion and the bear for us. But a place that lion and bear can come once. I wonder what else. Maybe wolf, raccoon. So some of us see raccoon these days and run. You know, but so many things. So many scorpions. These are these scorpions everywhere. And he was conquering. That was an until the it was he was in vital union with the Lord. Moving. Victory to victory.
Hallelujah.
So that until enemies does not mean that, oh, it can just be that. Yeah, you know, because when you finish one enemy, another there's the truth. Another one will come. So it does not mean that I'm staying in defeat and until power comes and then I stand up. No. That until is a time of victories through vital relationship. This is very stressed. Vital relationship with the divine spirit. Yeah, everyone must begin to look diligently into your walk with God. Forget this, the gathering here right now. Your walk with God as an individual. Because you as an individual, you are unique and you are accounted for in the sight of God. Nobody can say there's nothing about you that is too insignificant. We see in Job, he says that what is man that you set your affection upon him. If the individual was not important, he would not say that he would give rain to everyone grass of the field. Some will be too small to receive rain. Not put them as a collective and give rain. But it says everyone is totally accounted for by God. The Lord knows you. Hey,
amen.
He sees you.
Amen.
Jehovah sees you. He sees that struggle. The one in your heart. That expectation. The things that you may or may not be going through. He sees and he knows.
Amen.
The individual is fully accounted for. Because that one individual, as you are, was made in the image of God. So God does not joke with man. God put it, and I believe even society has adopted that law. Even if an animal kills a man, that animal will be hunted down and killed. Social laws follow it. That animal will be hunted. He says you cannot spill man's blood. For in the image of God, in my image, I made man. You are relevant.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So what are we doing? How is your life in the closet? As we are hoping, you know, to experience the resurrection life of the Lord and victories, we must diligently partake with him in his burial and in his death. These are things said thousands of times, being reiterated, because they're very serious. Because to partaking diligently in these times is a requirement to partake in the fullness. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There must be diligent follow of the Lord. Continue to see Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Is that one says, not Acts 2. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Verse 49. What are we doing in this time of the builder? Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But do what? Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. That word has come again. Until ye be endued with power from on high. So the Lord is saying here, he says, I've sent the promise of the Father, but tarry. Wait, abide in Jerusalem, the holy city. Is something ringing a bell now? What our brother said here yesterday. Holiness unto the Lord. Abide, tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued. So the people, if the people that were waiting to be endued with that power, if they did not tarry, would there be anybody that was not there? Did they partake of it?
No.
Oh, so okay. So we know that we cannot be waiting. The day of the power is going to come. And you are not you are not putting Jesus before you. You are not submitting yourself to willingness because we are going to look at the abundant provision provided. So it is a prerequisite. You must needs partake in these until moments. We agree that the day of Pentecost was a day of his power, right?
Yes.
It was also established on the first day. The day of his power is the day of Pentecost. And one thing we must know about the day of the Lord's power is that it is marked by great abundance and provision like I said, that produces willingness, is marked by great abundance and provision. Remember Job that says, what is this man that you visit him? Now, the visitations of God to man can be summarized, you know, in three visits, or we can say in 3 days. And each day being a fullness of a day. Mm-hmm. We'll clarify, amen. But the visitations of God, all the visitations of God are days of his power. Amen. And it can be summarized in 3 different days. The Lord God came unto men like Abraham and unto... Now, the visitation of God is one God. But for the purposes of salvation and pointing man to where he's taking him to, he visits him in different expressions. So him coming to Abraham saying, I am the Lord Almighty. Get thee out. What kind of thing that would make a responsible man, if you claim to be a responsible man, you just stand up, sorry for using, to you just wake up and just say, we are going to Obudu. You know Obudu is? Obudu. At least you even have a destination, sorry. Enter. Let's just enter car. Put this heavily young man inside the car and just begin to drive. Toye, baby, where are we going to? The Lord will show us. What kind of provision made that man Abraham so willing? The day of his power is marked. That was the, and in every day of the Lord's visit, he raises up champions of those days.
Amen.
And it is a pointer to the fullness of the day. Raised up champions like Moses, like David, and all the prophets of old in the first order visit, the first day visit. And what was he? What did he begin? When he met Abraham, he began to preach to him. In fact, from Adam, preach to him about the seed, the seed, the seed, the manifestation of Jesus, the seed, a pointer, pointing to him. Raised up Moses, all of them filled with willingness. It says that through that faith they had, they quenched the violence of fires, received people from the dead, stopped the mouth of lions. Men operated in the first order visit. When man was even still in deadness, pointing to the seed. There is a seed that is coming. Ah, men like Isaiah spoke about it. Spoke. Ah, what is this? No entrance. He said, they search diligently. The search diligence of the things spoken, the spirit in of which the spirit in Christ in them did signify. First Peter, of which it did, they search diligently of what is this thing that is being spoken to us about. Just for reference and for people there, First Peter, I think, okay, First Peter. Chapter 1, verse 10. It says, of which salvation? They were speaking of a salvation. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently. They were talking. Isaiah would just hear. There will be one. One would arise and will stand for an answer for the people. To him shall the Gentiles flow. His rest shall be glorious. My goodness. My God. Uncle would say shaky. My goodness. Unto us a child will be born. He said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Ha! Search diligently. He says, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you?
In the name of Jesus.
My goodness. Searching. What or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. When it was testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And then later on, God had mercy on them and said, Isaiah, stop this. Verse 12. He says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister these things. So they were searching, but there was no entrance given. But they were speaking, they were hearing vibrations. David picking vibrations from the spirit, catching words, speaking them by utterance, by inspiration. But no agent, no clarity to the matter. No wonder that without us, they cannot be made perfect.
Yes.
Brethren, do you know that we are very privileged to be living in the times that we are in? Whoa! What a glorious time. Very glorious time. Before, I used to wish that I was living in the time of Isaiah then. So that, you know, you can just say, and Chidera said unto him, thou shalt die. The ring, maybe the whisper, oh, Lord, as Chidera said, thou shalt die. If I remake my name, the Bible. That one time I just to pray that my name would be, you know, standing up, you know it, you know. And but then I came to realize and I'm so blessed to be living today.
Amen.
To be living in the time of the people unto the ends of the world has come. What a privileged time. So that was the first other visit. Raising up men. Moses, all pointing to the seed. The seed. That was the day of his power. These men were walking diligently. Following. Even though they did not see, most of them, or they didn't see the fulfillment. They followed diligently. What are you doing in this time of the until moment? In this time of the building up, you can be in every day, the Lord has his champions of the day.
Yes.
Hey! May I be a champion in this day.
Amen.
May you be a champion in this day.
Amen.
Hi, wholly devoted to God. This man followed diligently. And then the fullness, their own Pentecost came upon them, the manifestation of Jesus Christ, who began a work of reviving of man. Jesus Christ became manifest. And certain people saw. Luke chapter 1. There's always a company. A company of people. It's never one person. So anybody following and think, one, you know, if you want to do this thing, traveling, evangelist and everything, without a devotion to a candlestick where you are subject to for your perfection. Oh my God, I'm sorry to break it to you. You are in error. Simple as that. God is dealing with a body. When he called out to John on the Isle of Patmos, don't forget about seeing my face. I show you my candlestick. This is my interest.
Yeah.
The church of the living God, the body of Christ,
yes,
is his interest. You must be part of a body. There's no lone ranger. Hey, you must be, the mark of your greatness is being able to be subject to the body of Christ for perfecting. Nobody can rise up and say, I know. You cannot be a head. Who are you? No. Jesus is the head. So you must be part of the body to receive nourishment. Irrespective of who you are. A company of people waited for this. Luke chapter 1. Quickly, it's a long chapter. And that would be... it's Luke chapter 2, sorry. I was in the wrong place. Wait. Yeah. Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 34. A company of people. It says, and a man named Simon blessed them. He came to the baby Jesus who was born. And said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for... Okay, no. I went, or rather, I will go up ahead to verse... look at verse 25. Luke 2:25. People did there. You can see your Bible. It says, and behold, there was a man in where? Where did the Lord tell them to tarry when they waited for the Holy Spirit? In Jerusalem. Speaks of the holy city. Consecration. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. The same man was just and devout. This is a time to be devout, to be just by the Spirit of the Lord. What was he doing? Waiting. Is it not so coincidental? It's so, Jesus said, go in Jerusalem and tarry. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ that was spoken of through many witnesses. He waited and he received, this was the symbolic company of the 120. Waited until he received the fullness of that day. So the fullness of the first day was the manifestation of Jesus. And then of course, the Lord, there is a place for the female folk. Hallelujah. And after, instead of Simon, he goes up. It says, jump to verse 36. And there was one Anna. How many of the sisters now will name their daughter Anna? I'm joking. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow for about 84 years, her husband has long died, which departed not from the temple. Are we picking keys here? This woman departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer. Are we confirming something that was told to us on the first day? Fastings and prayer. Serve God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she coming in the instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So you see that there's a company of people that were reserved by the Lord to see the fullness of that first day visit. Because without it, the works of darkness could not be destroyed. The lamp was slain from the foundations of the world, but the works of darkness were enjoying a field. They were just dancing amongst humanity, just enjoying themselves. That's why it says, for this very purpose was the Son of God made manifest in the flesh, that he might destroy the works of the wicked one. Can put the scripture. So has Jesus been manifested? Yes. Therefore, every work of the wicked one in your life, in my life, may it be destroyed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May it be totally decimated.
Amen.
By the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that walketh mightily through you. For this purpose, he was manifested, that the works of the wicked one should be totally destroyed. And then Jesus came and began to fulfill a time, walk through a time of revival, reviving man. The second day visit. And began to point of who? The Holy Spirit. I will say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you a comforter. Tarry in Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. He says he would take of things of me. He will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. He was speaking, pointing to the dawning of a new day. Each fullness of a day brings an ushering into a new day. So the fullness of the first day, the manifestation of Jesus, ushered into us the second order visit. He ushered us in and marked with much abundance of provision that caused willingness. When Jesus came, what? Somebody, a businessman, Chika is making deals. One guy just walks up to him and says, follow me. Chika leaves his car and everything and follow. Hey! What kind of power? Abundance that produces such willingness. Hey, it is available.
Amen.
This is the day of his power. It is marked with abundant provision that produces willingness. Much willingness. The fullness of that day came. And at the command of Jesus, men were leaving businesses, families, following him. For he had many other disciples, but they all turned back. It's in scripture. Plenty of they could not. Plenty turned back. But a company followed him, tarried with him, waited, following diligently, in vital ways. They could not understand, or at certain times they doubted him in their minds, but they continued to see him, Jesus. Abraham doubted that, experienced challenges, rather. So, but he said he continued to look for the city, continued to see. So, like we said, what are you seeing? The phone, wait, tarry. In Jerusalem, Jesus, on the second order visit, began to speak of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, until it was manifested. And the fullness of that day came. The Holy Spirit was the fullness of the second day visit, ushering us into the third day. Hey, after 2 days, he will revive us. But on the third day, a people shall be raised up. Except this corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it will abide alone. But when it does, woo, it will spring up many who shall fill the world and walk in power. So, what does that mean? We are building up to a fullness of a day.
Amen.
That will usher us into a new age. To reign and live with Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is why we are so privileged. So, if one may ask, if the fullness of the first day was the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the second was the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, then what is the fullness of our day? What are we looking for? What are we waiting for? Hey, completion. Yes. Completion. For the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in that eternal cornerstone, and we are complete in him. To receive it, the receiving of the former and the latter rain that will usher us into a new age with Christ.
Amen.
That's the fullness of our day. It's not just God expressing himself as the Father or as the Son, but the fullness of the Godhead bodily that dwells in my Lord. Jesus is the eternal cornerstone. Job 38 refers. The eternal cornerstone. He's the chief stone, the chief corner. Hey.
Thank you.
So that we don't just speak in this thing. Let's just put some quick reference quickly. Job 38. Hallelujah. Are we following?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Job chapter 38. Okay. Is it Job chapter 38? Yes. Oh no. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sorry, following as the Spirit is leading, so things are coming in. So let's refer to them. Okay. I get it. We can look at Job 38. It's Job 38, verse 6. It says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fasting? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? Who set it? That cornerstone, the corner there is chief, is the chief stone. And of course, it was not testified again of him when he came. The stone that the builders refused is become the chief of the corner. The chief Ibet, that was it, the stone. The chief stone. He's the cornerstone of. You know what? Uncle is an engineer, and they set the cornerstone, all things aligned to it. That's why that first song that came, he's aligning everything in obedience to Christ. He is the chief stone. When he was declared in the spirit and established, he says, verse 7 says, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Man.
And his establishment.
Man.
As that cornerstone, he aligns everything in this, I don't even know why this life, how many lives they are there, even the lives of all the cats. Everything, they say cats have plenty lives. I believe that's a giant joke. But anyway, hallelujah. It says it aligns everything in alliance to him in your life.
Amen.
Everything is ordered. I lost my train of thought. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The fullness of the Godhead body dwelleth in my Lord, in that cornerstone, and we are complete in him. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 tells us that, quickly, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22, it says, and had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, okay?
Hallelujah.
Which is his body,
yeah.
The fullness of him that filleth all in all. His body is the fullness of him, and through this body, he will fill all things in all. He will fill all things through this body.
Amen.
Oh my God, isn't that glorious? I thought we should shout. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that so glorious?
Yes.
No wonder it says that Jacob will bear fruit downward, will take with downward, and bear fruit upward, and fill the whole earth with fruits. He is, through his body is the fullness of him. And through us, he will fill all things. All in all, the whole world, by his hand, by our hand, through his working, mighty power working in us, we shall fill all things, turning many to righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, brethren, the day, and I hope we know that the day of the Pentecost fell, the Holy Spirit fell, it was not the beginning of Pentecost. You know, Pentecost had begun ever since the Lord began to trumpet about it. It had begun, and people were following diligently. That's why look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Quickly. Right with grace, sorry. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come. Fully come. It was not, the day it came was the fullness of it. It had begun, and people were following diligently. But when the day was fully come, they were with one accord, and so on. We know the rest for. So therefore, I declare unto you that we are in the day of his power.
Amen.
We are in the day of the Lord's power.
Amen.
The Lord has sent forth the rod of his strength out of Zion. With that rod, rule thou in the midst of your enemies.
Amen.
Begin to slay the lion and the bears. Follow diligently unto God. Take heed to your walk with God. To your daily walk with the Lord. Follow in consecration. Say to the Lord, I am willing to consecrate my vessel unto him in this day, because I must be a partaker of what is coming.
Amen.
Oh, what exceeding great and precious promises has been given to us. It is, so painful that any would miss what is coming.
Oh, yes.
That will miss the fullness of what is coming. No. Not a hoof under this roof, listening, shall be left behind.
Yeah.
Hey, the power of God will engulf you from today.
Yeah.
The power of the Most High. Receive the anointing of God in fullness. Receive the anointing of God in your body. Receive it in your mind, in your soul. Hey, receive it in your desire. You will not be left behind. No, not possible. No, it was not possible that he should be holding of death.
Mm-hmm.
It was sent of Christ the head. Therefore, it applies to Christ the body.
Yeah.
It's not possible that you should be holding of death.
Yeah.
No, not possible. Great things await us.
Yeah.
Follow diligently.
Amen.
Follow diligently in the preparing of your house, your temple.
Hallelujah.
Consecrating yourself, willing vessels in this day. Because when the fullness comes, it shall be glorious. It will usher us into a new dispensation.
Oh, yes.
A new order of things. You will receive the nature, the divine nature, divine body, divine life. Huh? It is not high. Immortality, incorruptibility. Doing mighty, mighty things. A king reigning in righteousness. Princes ruling in judgment. Ruling in judgment. The angels that we are praying, angels has entered here. Hey, angels, let us, the angel, I can see the angel of the Lord. Beautiful, they are very glorious beings. Don't joke with them. I have the ability to finish. It was not given to them to finish, man. They are here to help you, But it says in that time, one angel is having disagreement. Eli will sit down and judge their matter. Angels! You will sit down and judge that matter.
Amen.
I say, oh Lord, what is this? And Lord said, my son, take care of this.
Jesus.
Judge the angels as glorious as they are. Hey. Oh my goodness. Jesus. No. The Lord will not leave our soul in hell.
Yeah.
No, he will not suffer to see corruption. Nobody can turn back anymore. If you have turned back before, no more from today. Your feet shall be dipped in oil. After a perpetual order, you will experience victory in your personal spaces from today. Hey, no more will your private time become strange. You will experience victory. Receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hey, receive it. Receive victory. Receive victory. Receive victory. Receive victory. Hey, receive victory. No more. We must all be partakers. We will all partake. We will all partake. We will all partake. The way of life will be shown to all. Yeah, the way of life will be shown to all. Jesus. Hey, Tata Sevago, Sherebo, Rebo. Zevre, Tata Sedebo. Never let the breath of the Most High blow upon this house. I receive it, oh God. I receive your power for sustenance. I receive it. The power for consecration. I receive it. I receive it. To the deadest person, receive life. Receive life this day. Receive life this day. Receive life this day. Record of Shadow, receive life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Brethren, we must know that this is the year of Jubilee.
Hallelujah.
This is the, it is not a statement made in futuristic expectation. No. This is the year of Jubilee. It's a truth. How many of you have heard of the year of Jubilee? They are set, they are right in the year of Jubilee and are waiting for you to exploit, to enforce. Now, the Pentecost, we agree that this is the day of his power. The Pentecost has come and we are walking right now in the until moment, following diligently the Lamb, waiting for the fullness of all things to come. The day of Pentecost and the year of Jubilee are directly related. Just as a truth to know. Pentecost, according to, look at quickly, now, Pentecost is first spoken in the Old Testament as the Feast of Pentecost. Was a pointer to the manifestation of that day. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15. Leviticus 23, verse 15. It says, when the Lord was talking about the Feast of Pentecost, it says, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from one day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, that is the first fruit, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Verse 16. Every, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath, ye shall number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now, a Sabbath is a conglomeration of 7 days, right? So 7 Sabbath, 7 times 7, 49. And then the next day after the Sabbath, 50, is the Pentecost. The Pentecost is set. Now, the Jubilee. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8. So, on the next day, the Pentecost. It says, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years. In the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years, shall be unto thee 49 years. Is this something similar?
Yes.
On a different breath, it's a Jubilee. Where in the Pentecost, we are counting 7 Sabbath of days. This one, we are counting 7 Sabbath of years. So 7 times 7, 49. Next, it says, verse 10, that, and ye shall hallow the 50th year. Sounding very, 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 again, the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout your land. All the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. Go to the next. Let me see something. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall neither sow nor reap. Okay. Now, There's something I want to get at very quickly. This Leviticus 25, let me open it from my Bible. Leviticus 25. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think it should be on top. Something I want to get at. Okay, verse 9. Leviticus 25, verse 9. It's still about the Jubilee. And it shall come to pass in the eighth day. No, Leviticus 25, verse 9. It says, and the Lord's 25, verse 9. And the Lord's, verse 9. Amen. Thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement. Now we see a relationship where we are seeing with the Pentecost and the Jubilee. Now we see a relationship with the Day of Atonement. It is the 7th day of the 10th month. That means after the 49 years, the next year, on 10th of July of the next year, the 10th day, of the 7th month, it says on the Day of Atonement is when we are going to proclaim that Jubilee. That is when that our Lord sat down on the right hand of God. After vanquishing all, sat down and proclaimed a Jubilee. Now, while we see, it is no mistake that it is the day of Pentecost and the year of Jubilee. It's no mistake. For a day marks an appointment or a time, a visitation. Then you see a day, it marks. So we can say the day of the Lord, the day of his power, the day of vengeance is an appointment, a set time. But a year, on the other hand, marks the ushering of a new regime, a new era. That's why I can say he crowns the year with his goodness. And that's why Isaiah 63 can say, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem is come. It has been ushered in.
In the name of Jesus.
The appointment of vengeance is in my heart. When I would spoil the works of darkness by my own blood, I would vanquish them totally and usher in a year of redemption. The day of vengeance and the year of redemption and the year of the redeemed is simultaneously. This is the year of the redeemed. It says proclaim a jubilee. Look at that, Leviticus chapter 25 verse 8. Okay. Yes, okay, verse 9. Or rather, verse 10. And thou shalt hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. And proclaim liberty. So, but is it established that we are in the year of Jubilee? Yes. So, in this year of Jubilee, there are rights that has been accrued to every one of us.
Amen.
It is an era. It has been opened. A dispensation has been opened unto all to partake and enforce, speak those rights into your life.
Amen.
It says, verse 10, it shall be a jubilee unto you, from the second part, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. Hey, in this year of jubilee, today, everyone return to your possession. If you have wandered from God, if you have wandered in characters, in natures, in every form of bondage, return to your possession.
Amen.
It says, everyone shall, it is legal, return unto his possession, and ye shall return every man into his family.
Amen.
That great family of God, everyone will return.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Verse 13. In the year of this Jubilee, this was spoken of thousands of years back, speaking of a time. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man into his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. That means oppression is not permitted. Oppression is not permitted. Hey, anyone under any form of oppression, before we proclaim anything and you receive, just have it into your spirit now. That, hey, wait, oh, in this year of Jubilee, oppression is not permitted. Hey, catch that oppressor and break them to pieces. It's not permitted. And if you cannot, there's a right in the Jubilee where we will do it for you. Oppression is not permitted. In this year of Jubilee, nobody should be oppressed. By depression, in their dreams, by all manner of things, no, not permitted. It has been ushered a new dispensation. Verse 17, ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but ye shall fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Think of whatever oppression you might be going through and say, fear God. Fear God. Hey, Jesus. It's not permitted. Oppression is not permitted. Sickness is an oppression. Depression is an oppression. All manner of bondages, they are oppressions. It's not permitted. In this year of Jubilee, know your rights. Hey, know your rights. Know your rights. You got to know it. You got to know your rights. This is the year of Jubilee. The prison doors are open. Captives are going free. It's a glorious resurrection. No wonder he said on the third day, he will raise us up in this day. It's a glorious resurrection. A glorious resurrection. Verse 23. The land shall not be sold forever. That land speaks of you. If you have been sold to under any captivity, anything, it shall not be sold forever. For the land is mine, and ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Your body, your temple, spirit, soul, and body belongs to the living God. Verse 39. Just jump in. Verse 39. And if thy brother that dwelleth with thee be waxing poor, that is where he's giving. Your brother, you, your brethren, your family members be waxing poor in spirit and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant, but as an hired servant. As a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. Your brother waxed poor. Now he was talking, it's a double prophecy, also speaking about their time. Waxed poor in that year of Jubilee, you will release the person. So, one thing we can draw from here is that bond servant is not permitted.
That's right.
For they are my servants. So, you are. Is anybody, are you the servant of the Lord?
Yes.
Therefore, you cannot serve two masters.
Of course.
You cannot be any other person's servant, whether by compulsion or willingly. So, if you willingly even sold yourself into something, hey, you shall be delivered. You are delivered. If that you chose it and you entered, there is deliverance.
In the name of Jesus.
Because why? This is the year of Jubilee. The law is enforced. Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah.
Which I brought forth, 42, out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. They shall not be sold as bondmen. No. Thou shalt not rule over them with rigor, but thou shalt fear thy God. Amen. If anything used to appear to you in your dream, get ready, pray. And get it. When it happens, you say, you don't fear God? Give it a slap. You don't fear God. You don't fear God. Okay. Verse 47. For if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, a stranger, remember the first day we spoke of strangers on Friday, wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwell by him wax poor. Could be family members or whatever, wax poor. To any strange thing, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. After he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Oh my God. Brethren, I can imagine, right now, I don't have any immediate family member that I know that is sold to wickedness. But sometimes I have to imagine if my father or my brother, after I know the dangers of hell and the suffering, thinking that this person I love so much will end up dead. Sometimes I imagine it and the thing, I cringe. Therefore, this day, if any of your family member, father, mother, siblings, as soon as bondmen to any stranger, this day they have released. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you have the capacity to stand in the gap. It is your right in the Jubilee. Speak to the soul. Comfort the spirit of your father, of your mother, of your siblings. They will not perish in hell. They will not perish in hell. No. It is your right in the Jubilee. Speak it. Speak it. Call them forth. They will not. No way. Noah saved all that were in the ark with him. Not one of Noah's family perished. All that entered that place, he kept them alive. All the men that were with David were wrapped up in a bundle of life with him. They could not. David said to Abiathar, "Be with me, for him that seeks after you seeks after me. But with me there is safeguard, because your family members have you as part of that family. They cannot die in their sins. Today there is a release over them. Let the sword of the Lord break forth the victory. Hey! Let the sword of the Lord break forth the chains over their minds. This day they shall turn to the Lord. They will turn to God. They will know God. It is your right in the Jubilee." He says one of their brethren may redeem him. It just takes one. You can stand as a priest and speak. They will not. Your brother will not. Sister will not. Uncle, auntie, father, mother, son, daughter, niece, nephew. No way. They will not. They cannot perish in hell. No way. It is a right. We are in a country of rights. When you know your rights, you cannot be bullied. You must know the right. This is the year of Jubilee. Know it. Internalize it. Knowledge is the first step to deliverance. Know it. If we can receive and proclaim all of this, coming with great power and backing, angelic backing, to proclaim these things that they may stand fine, but you must internalize it. Know it. Know it. Know it. And keep proclaiming it. Keep speaking it. This is the year of Jubilee. If the Pentecost has come, then this is the year of Jubilee. He said it. It's the year of Jubilee. That is the time that we are living in. Yeah. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is abundant provision that has been given from the throne of grace in this time of his power. Jesus has made abundant provision. Yes. Now, let's pass a point. Sorry. Now, just having it as a principle so that we can, for easy understanding as we wrap this up with the next thrust we'll give, is that, you see, David, the man David, being a champion of the first order visit, is indeed very pivotal. And David was reserved from the foundations of the world, the man David, to be a mirror to display the Lord's salvation. Hence, it is very in his very casual day-to-day living, he was symbolizing the Messiah, and the earthly display of the Godhead was tied to him for the purpose of teaching the man David. So when we see David in scripture, he's very pivotal. Right from the foundation, God just foreordained it for him. That's so David to be a type, so that things that pertain to the Godhead can really be communicated to us. We can look at the life of David and draw things out. Even though there will be elements of his physical life, the Holy Spirit would show us where to draw for principles. And that's why Jesus is both the progenitor and the posterity of David. Jesus is both the son and the father of David. His son and father. So you can call him Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Right? But Jesus said, you're calling me David's son. He said, how then in spirit? He quoted Psalm 110 for them. David called me Lord. He called me Lord. I'm his father. Stop insulting me. But anyway, I'm his son. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the root of David. He's also the offspring. And it is set forth for the purpose of teaching. So also, when we are also examining scriptures and we see Solomon, Solomon is the seed of David. So Solomon can serve as a blessed type of our Lord, first of all, who is also the son of David, and a blessed type of you and I, the church, who is the seed of David. Is that clear? This is a very strong key that can help you have entrance into many scriptures. So when you see it, it serves in that purpose, because Jesus is root and offspring of David. The conversation we see in Psalm 10 was a conversation of David's. the greater and the lesser one is dropped and was hanged. Okay. That being said, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. That needed to be said to grab something. When we see David here, he's talking of Jesus Christ, and this is a divine conversation showing a clear display of God's provision for us, church. Now, sorry, we can leave the music now. We'll bring it back up. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. It says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, this is our Lord Jesus, Solomon my son, whom alone God had chosen, is yet young and tender. Solomon my son, whom alone the Lord has chosen, is both young and tender. You see, the work that is here and we do this for us is great. And if anyone that says I am young and tender, the Lord knows that. And in David departing for his son Solomon to continue to enforce his victories, that's us and his church, the Christ God and his church, he says he is yet young and tender. And the work is great. And the palace, that word palace there is house, tabernacle. That palace in first principle is speaking of you, your being, your spirit, soul, and body. The palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. For your temple is there, your body is what? The temple of the Lord God. So he's young and tender. But this palace, in one prophetic breath, talking of you and I, another prophetic breath is speaking of his church. And you can also take it to work service in the house of God. The palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Jesus is saying that he has, remember we said that the day of power is marked by abundant provision. Jesus is saying that he has prepared with all his might for this house. He says, to this man will I look. He has prepared with all his might for this house, for the establishment and the finishing of this house. The one that Zerubbabel started to lay the foundations, and the one he will put the capstone. The ability was prepared for him. Look at the help Zerubbabel received in the face of all the oppositions. The much preparation has been made. Even for this house, this candlestick in Winnipeg, much preparation has been made by God for the establishment of this house, for the functioning and growth. God, not us, Jesus is saying, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. The gold for things of gold. Everything that has to do with working in you, divine nature has been prepared. The gold for things of gold. For you shall become a thing of gold. Abundance of gold has been prepared for you. Abundance has been delivered. The silver for things of silver. Everything respecting redemptionary work in you. Victory has been prepared. The brass for things of brass. Yeah, the work of the... When the brass is worked in your life, you have clear sight. The spirit of judgment comes upon you. By the doctrine of the Lord dropping like rain. There is clear sight, entrance into the doctrines of the Father.
Hallelujah.
That's the brass being worked. As it's coming, it's judging, it's taking away things, taking away beauty, separating things away from you, judging natures in you. By the word of God, everything is judged by his word. In the day that he will judge the word through Jesus Christ, the word. You are the lion and the lamb, the word of the Father. As it comes, it brings forth judgment. That's the working of brass, where his doctrine becomes open.
Hallelujah.
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, very quickly, verse 1. It says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear the words of my mouth. My doctrine, my teachings shall drop as the rain. The first word there, rain, is matter. Matter, that means rain coming with hailstones, torrential. An example of matter can be what happened here from Friday, where the word of the teachings are coming in a huge force. You are receiving, you are writing, you have not finished writing, you can see Kemi has been struggling to put, has been, you know, catching up to put the scriptures. It's coming in serious force. That's the doctrine will drop like rain.
Amen.
Now, most times you receive a doctrine like dropping like rain in atmospheres like this, but you can also receive it in your personal space.
Amen.
Time that it comes and you are just putting, that is the matter. It's dropping like rain. The teachings of the Lord is dropping powerfully like rain. May we begin to experience matter.
Amen.
But now, so many people deal with matter, but they are not experiencing soeh. So here is the next. There are three rains in this verse 2. Now, my speech shall distill as the dew. We talked about the dew yesterday. As the small rain. That is soeh. Look, the soeh diffuses from the matter. It's the one you receive. It distills in you, giving you victory in your personal spaces. One on one as you go. The desert, so people will come, experience the matter dropping like rain, and go and whew. May the speech of the Lord distill upon each head as dew, as the small rain upon what? The tender head. Because Solomon is tender. If his matter, some rain can even destroy the little one. It's that soil that does the growing, the building. My speech will distill. Hi, may we come to that realm. May we, not, it's not, if I, let me just tell you, because realm, as it's a big thing, the realm. No, follow the, walk in vital relationship with the Lord. Follow diligently. Instructions were given to us the first day. Go back, check the recording. Go, follow. Given to us the second day. Follow diligently the Lord. Let his speech begin to distill, permeate inside of you. And as that continues upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass. That showers there is not Geshem. It's not the one in Zechariah 10 verse 1. It's similar, but not. This one is Robib. We have Mata, Soeh, Robib. Robib means rain that brings fertility. Prophetic influence. It brings, so as you are in the place receiving the Soeh, where his speech is distilling, you are in the place. Read your little scripture, Matthew chapter 8, you read. You stay on it. Maybe we spoke, Abby was hit on meditation on the first day, Friday. You stay on it. Let that speech begin to distill upon you. That is the brass being worked in you. And then it will give rise to Rabib. Rabib is rain. It brings fertility. You begin to bring forth the fruits and the workings of it. Is that, are we clear?
Yeah.
That is the brass. Yea. May the Spirit backing this word come upon us.
Amen.
We would begin to receive His speech as we live. When we are most with us, alone with ourselves, His speech will begin to distill upon us as they do. Will begin to permeate within us so that they can be produced. It's not about the doctrine. Dropping like rain. It's dropping. Everywhere we go, it's dropping. Enter everywhere. Last in the evening time, SWBA is dropping like rain. You enter some places, a hailstone will not hit your head. You are the one that will run out from there. Because the doctrine is heavy. They say, oh, man, this one. You know, we received one some months ago in Winnipeg. You know, can they pass over everyone? It remains for some people that have run out from the church building. You know? That they don't drop it. But out of that matter, as we follow on to know, we begin, the soil begins to distill upon us and drop as they do, bringing, leading you to Rabib. That is a fertility, bringing forth fruitfulness. Praise the name of the Lord. These are the workings of brass. For the brass, for things of brass, Jesus has made abundant provision of it. Here's an example of it. Look at what has been happening to us in the past 3 days. Abundant provision is given. And even the one that can be stirred up, you can also receive matter in your personal space.
Amen.
It can come upon you.
Amen.
Heavy.
Amen.
Heavy.
Amen.
But when it comes, you must follow in that order. The iron for things of iron. Everything necessary for you to exercise dominion has been provided.
Amen.
Hey, with the rod of iron, you will crush the enemies.
Amen.
Every oppression will be totally brought to total subjugation.
In the name of Jesus.
Everything, the iron, this is Jesus saying, I have provided the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood. Though you are moving on, thanksgiving that will enable you to minister to the things of wood, that is, ministration to your fellow man, has been provided. Capacity, capability has been given in abundance. So we have been praying a lot about boldness, boldness, speaking God's word. It has been provided. The onyx stones, everything given for you to dwell, spirit living, dwelling in the divine, where you are spirit, no, spirit constancy. In spirit, dwelling in the divine. For the ministration of that great river Pison that runs through the land of Avila, where there is the gold. Now, the gold of that land is good gold. And there is the delium and the onyx stones. These stones dwell inside what is called gold, ouches of gold. On the stones of memorial by the high priest and on his breastplate, they dwell in gold. Spirit living as the onyx stones. Constancy, where you are in tune with the spirit, because that is where growth, as we saw yesterday, the lambs connecting, a constant supply to the olive trees. It says, be constant in season, in and out of season. Constancy. Things of the onyx has been provided. Stones to be set, glistening stones, and of diverse colors. All manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, oh Jesus, I have of my own special treasures. They are the proper goods of the Lord. That He, as the people, it's as simple. God is looking at people with simple hearts. Follow diligently. Even with all the provisions, He will bring you to the realm of His own proper goods. I have of my own special treasuries. My own special, this is not preaching God has special. No, I'm just telling you. God can take people like Samuel and say, if Samuel stand before me. There are people that are brought into entrance in with just with perfect hearts. That is hearts that are totally reliant on him, just loving him, following him. He says he has of his own special good, my own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given. Hey, it has been given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. There are special places in God, brethren. And each and every one of us are there.
Amen.
Even 3,000 talents of gold. Of gold of offer. You see, the previous one was just gold. This one is the gold of offer. That is the beauty that will come upon the church. Psalm 45 refers. It says, there seated the queen in the gold of offer. It says, of gold, the gold of offer, and 7,000 of talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses without. The gold for things of gold provided. The silver for things of silver. And all manner of work to be made by the hand of the artificers. Hallelujah. Today, the hand of the artificers is the Spirit working in us, and then he can work so much in us that we too can become a hand of artificers even in his church. And now, this is the question. In light of all this, who then is, this question was asked yesterday, who then is willing to consecrate his service unto the Lord this day? Who then is willing to consecrate his service to the Lord this day? If you are willing, stand up and say, I, this day, Lord, I'm willing. Make your covenant with your mouth. Who then is willing, in light of this provision, hey, who then is willing to consecrate his service unto the Lord this day? Make that covenant with your mouth and say, Lord, I am willing. I am willing, Jesus, I am willing. I am willing. In light of this abundant provision, I am willing to consecrate my service unto you this day. Hey! Let the spirit of willingness come upon us. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. I am willing this day to consecrate my service unto the Lord. But then let's now begin to pray. And before we pray, I have a lot more to say, but the Spirit is instructing me to stop it here. Now, you see, the freewill offering, there are Leviticus chapter from chapter 1, there are different offerings, 5. Out of those 5, there are 3 that are free will. It is free will. They are, and that's what it's talking about. It says if people will be free will offerings. The sin offering and trespass offering is compulsory. If you sin, you have to do it. But there's something called the burnt offering, you know, which is to a life of total, solid selling out to God. Everything in that is burnt to ashes. A consecrated life. Jesus is asking, who then is willing? Leave that scripture. Who then is willing? In light of all this abundance, gold for things of gold has been given. Silver, brass, only all manner of precious things have been given. Who then is willing in light of this? The next one is the meal offering or the grain offering. Speaking of sinlessness, I'm just brushing through. You know, but it's good we know this, and we can go back and check it. In that one, things are used in it. Frankincense is used. No living is added. There is no blood in that one, meaning that it's not atoning for sin. It's fine flour, beaten fine. A spotless, the life, to find the life of Christ, frankincense is offered. Now, note, in these 3 freewill offerings, the Lord said they are for a sweet-smelling savour to God. When God perceives the fragrance, it's a sweet smell, it's a perfume to him. It's aromatic unto him. How many of us know a life of decadence and sin has a foul odor? A foul odor. We've been doing deliverance before, and they perceive a foul odor. It's not that the person is fatted, no. A foul odor emitting as spirits are coming out. But this one, it says, is a sweet smelling savour. These are the offerings that we have to begin to offer this day. Is willing offerings, free will offerings. The third one is the peace offering. That one is just is wonderful. That one, man eats with God. Man and God eat, is, or it can be called friendship offering. Man and God eat together from the same place. You sup with the Father. The Lord will take his own. He will take the fat. And everyone, I think, will take the bread, the right shoulder, and so on and so forth. Not to go deep, lest we deviate. Like I said, so many more things to be said. But there's a caution to stop it here. For us to launch into prayers. These are the offerings. They are free will. A question was asked, was said yesterday. This is a time to give ourselves to holiness. To follow the Lord diligently. Keep seeing Jesus. Oh my God. You have a choice to see all things not yet under. But why see Jesus? Why not see him? I believe that's a better one to see. There are things that we are pressing onto. Great and marvelous things. And people, what are we doing in these until hours? In this time of building up? How much are we following? Selling at ourselves in the bond of it. Things that we are holding on to. What will it profit you to hold on to these things? Clinging to things of the world. What will it profit any of us to hold on to it and lose great things and begin to gnash it very soon? God forbid. No. What does it profit us? Look at the abundant provision that has been given from the Most High. It says, with these things, with these provisions, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day? This day marks a new chapter. In this finalization, as we are closing these three powerful days, it marks a chapter. Who then? That question has been asked from day one. Who then is willing to consecrate his service to the Lord this day? This is a personal thing between you and God. Who then is willing? And for all those who are willing, we'll begin to pray. And there will be ministrations that will go on. Let the things of God be given unto all. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray. Let the things of silver be given. Receive it. The things of brass. Everything needed for your working. For all those who are willing, lift up your hands to God and begin to pray. The Lord will lead us in diverse ministrations. But we lift up our voices and begin to call unto the Lord. For if I have not given myself willingly, Lord, this day I am willing to consecrate myself. I am willing to consecrate my service, everything about me, unto the Lord this day. Hallelujah. Every good old shadow of a bush.